Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Pamela Harper is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Pam is a member of our Brain Trust. She's been with us a number of times before. She's the author of Preventing Strategic Gridlock. She's an internationally known business performance expert, and in addition to being an author, she's also a professional speaker. Her company is called Business Advancement Incorporated. She's a member of our Brain Trust, and she's our friend. Pam, welcome back to the show.
Oh, hi, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you back with us. Pam, I know you want to talk about managing expectations today, and before you got here, I was talking to the audience about that, and I said that maybe, you know, one of the things I like to do, and I like to encourage small business owners to do, is to identify the low-hanging fruit. Let's before we go spending a lot of money on rejiggering our brands, before we go spending a lot of money on a lot of other stuff, if we want to drive sales, if we want to improve profitability, if we want to make our life happier in as a business owner and the people around us happier, what is there out there that's low-hanging fruit, things that we can do quickly that don't cost us anything? And that might be, one of those things might be just asking people what they want. What do you think?
What a revolutionary concept. You know, we're out there. We're out there and we're coming up with all these great ideas and thinking what we have to do is come up with the next great thing. And in fact, what it may prove to be is that our customers may actually have something on their minds already that we can easily satisfy and satisfy well. It could be something, I know in some cases for some of my clients, it's been making their hours a little more available to their clients, or it can be something as simple as a different color of what it is that you offer. You know, it isn't necessarily a breakthrough idea that people are looking for.
For example, you might, if you want to grow sales, you might say, well, maybe I should stay open more. And so then the first thing you would think is, okay, I'm not open on Saturday. Maybe I should open a half day on Saturday. But maybe what your customers want is just for you to be open till 6 instead of just to 5.
That's right, and they may not even want Saturdays. So it really gets into looking at what is it that your customers or even other stakeholders, people who are going to keep you in business, what is it that they are expecting? And what is it that you yourself are expecting as a business owner? You know, Jim, a lot of times we don't even think about our own expectations and whether or not they're in sync with our with other people's expectations. And that's a lot of the challenge out there.
Well, and I think a big part of the problem with managing expectations, Pam, is that we presume too much, don't we?
We sure do. We think we know what's going on because we're in our own systems, you know. We see things from our own perspective, and it's very easy to make the assumption that everyone else sees it the same way. And I talk quite a bit about that in my book, that we make a lot of common but really mistaken assumptions about how other people see the very same issues that we're looking at. We have to constantly be challenging those assumptions.
So how do we zap all those presumptions and invigorate all that understanding of what our customers want? How do we get started with that?
Well, the first step is to look at, again, your own assumptions about, for your business, whether your organization, regardless of whether you're an organization of one or 100, what are the capabilities and willingness of your organization to be able to pull off what you're trying to do? And what are the assumptions that we ourselves are making about that? So, for instance, if I think that I have the right people on staff to stay open till 6 o'clock at night, and I don't, and they're not going to be willing to do that, you know what? I have to start challenging what I'm going to do. But I see people get into all kinds of problems, actually, the word problems, because they make the assumption that they actually have that in place and they don't. So we have to look at what is it that we first are expecting and then to go out and look at whether people would see it the same way.
So if I understand you correctly, and this is something I was just thinking about while you were talking about this, maybe a fun exercise, maybe it wouldn't be so much fun, maybe it'd be a little painful, but maybe a useful exercise would be to sit everybody in a room, let's say take all of your salespeople, and put them in a room and say, okay, let's go down through our customer list, and I want you to tell me what you think you know about this customer, about what they want. What do you think your customers want? And let them tell you, and then somebody write it down. Somebody record all that. And then over the next month or so, let somebody else go out and ask your customers to, would you mind if we surveyed you? We're trying to make sure we stay close to our customers. Could we ask you a few questions? Not the salespeople, somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then compare what the customers told you to what the salespeople told you. I bet there'd be some revelations. What do you think?
I think there would be huge revelations because oftentimes we don't see things the way that we think others see them. And I would also extend that exercise. So many of us these days build our businesses on alliances and outsource providers, and we think we have that capability and don't. I was just talking with someone the other day, and he was saying he was surprised that his outsource providers could not do things that he thought they could and could do other things he didn't know they were even capable of. So that
and
means
see, that last one is a big deal, isn't it?
It is, because we have money on the table when we don't really check the assumptions that we have about these things. And comparing notes like you're talking about, I think, is so important.
You know, the director of a state bank organization, it was an entire state's banking trade group, told me one time, a long time ago, he said, banks are spending all this money, you know, trying to get new customers. And that's okay, he said. But he said, I believe if every bank in this state would provide all of the financial products and capability that their customers, their existing customers need, that they have the ability to deliver, he said, I think they would not have to have a new customer for 5 years.
Amazing.
And
sounds
what
right.
He was talking about is they're not asking their customers, what do you need, and do you know what we have the ability to do? Stand by, Pam. Pamela Harper, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Preventing Strategic Gridlock. She and I will be right back after these messages. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with Pamela Harper. The name on her book is Pamela S. Harper. The book is Preventing Strategic Gridlock. And it's a good one, too, by the way, folks. I'd encourage you, if you're a manager of any, even one employee, you need to, if you're trying to grow your business, you need to take a look at what Pamela has to say. Pam, why don't you give us your website and tell us where the book's available, please?
The website is businessadvance.com, and you can actually find the book on any online bookstore, such as an Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc., or even going into your local bookstore and asking for it if you don't see it.
And they will order it for you. Pamela S. Harper. Pam is talking to us, folks, about how to manage expectations. You know, there are two kinds of expectations. There are two people, I guess I should say, as managers, that we really ought to be thinking about in terms of expectations. And earlier in this interview, you and I were talking about managing customer expectations. What about managing employee expectations? That's important too, isn't it?
It's huge, because what happens is, of course, your employees are the ones that are going to make or break whether you can deliver your service or your product. Mm-hmm. And they are expecting big things of you as well. So they're looking at what's not only just what you say, but what you do. And people don't get that a lot of times.
Well, tell us what you mean by that.
Well, for instance, if I say that my door is always open to you, which is a big one, you know, we have an open door policy, come on in.
Right. Right.
And the door is never open when you go and knock on it. You know, mm-hmm. you're going to say, I really don't agree with that, that my door...
An open door policy doesn't mean that the door physically has to be open.
No, but there are people who literally expect that. So, in other words, people are shaping whatever expectations they have more on what you do than on what you say.
So what you say to them is you say, okay, I have an open door policy. Now, let me explain that to you. Sometimes my door is closed. But when I say open door policy, what I mean is if you need to talk to me, if I'm very busy, maybe we'll have to schedule it, but otherwise you can talk to me.
Exactly. Exactly. So the clearer that everybody is about what their expectations are, and I think there is accountability on the part of the employee as well to be clear about what he or she is expecting. So it's a dialogue. It's not a one-way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's important that when you're doing your annual reviews to give employees an opportunity to tell you what they think, isn't it?
Exactly. There are always two sides to a story, and it's important to understand what their perspective is so that you can then go back. And I've heard all kinds of unusual things, you know, people who just had a totally different take on what was going on. And once those misconceptions are cleared up, performance moves forward.
You know, you'll find this interesting. We had some furniture delivered over the last several months. And over a period of a couple of weeks, the company had to make two deliveries. I won't go into the details, but they wound up being there twice in about a 10-day period. And one employee who delivered said, you know what, he actually was very derogatory about the company and said something, you know, very negative about their service ability. The next guy who came was the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was interesting to me that two individuals had two totally different perspectives about this company, and it didn't matter which one was right, those two individuals had different perspectives about their own company, didn't they?
Exactly. So reality is really, who knows what reality is? It's
right.
Really about perceptions.
Perception is everything, isn't it?
Absolutely everything.
And that's the deal, and it's easy, and when you realize how human beings can be, Pam, and you know, I've always said that the problem with humanity is the humans. when we realize how squirrely human beings can be, it's really kind of a dangerous thing, isn't it, this perception thing?
Well, dangerous, it's a double-edged sword. It's also very good. There are some wonderful things because it means that we have all kinds of opportunities as well. And shaping expectations is really where you can build on that. So
and isn't the 21st century, Pam, though, isn't the 21st century, aren't the things that we experience here, doesn't it require that we continually check with our customers and our employees to see what their perception is, how we're doing on that perception continuum?
And that's right. And managing the expectations, making sure that we are consciously aware of what it is that they're thinking and that we are working to build on that, make it go in the direction we want it to go in.
And nothing stays the same. And boy, howdy, is that true in the 21st century, right?
It will always evolve. It will always evolve.
Yeah.
And what it is that we do with that is going to be how successful we are.
make sure, folks, that you not only manage the expectations, you can't manage them if you don't have them, and you won't have them probably unless you ask for them. Don't be afraid to ask for them. Pam Harper, give us your website again, please.
That's www.businessadvance.com.
Businessadvance.com. The book is called Preventing Strategic Gridlock, and it's available wherever books are sold. Pam, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks, Jim. My pleasure.
We'll see you next time. Pamela S. Harper, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break, 29 after, right back with Anna Brewer, right after these messages. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.